Infrastructures. Infrastructure describes a country's multiple systems, water, power, sanitation, communication, information technologies, and of course, its roadways, inland waterways, railroads, airports, pipelines, and ports, which are the backbone of the transportation system. Many nations, especially developing countries, have infrastructures that are insufficient or in major disrepair. As the website of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, puts it, inadequate access to infrastructure is a key barrier to economic growth. It inhibits access to healthcare, education, and markets. Transportation infrastructure. According to Novak et al., in Transportation, a Global Supply Chain Perspective, transportation may be the most important business for a developed country. The U.S. Department of Transportation has an annual pocket guide to transportation that describes a transportation system as a network of roads, bridges, railroads, transit systems, airports, water ports, waterways, and pipelines. The interconnection among these enables people to travel to work, conduct business in multiple locations, ship goods, and explore new geographic areas and regions. These connections even transcend oceans and are complemented by the internet, enabling real-time global communication and trade. Transportation infrastructures in countries around the globe comprise the components shown in Exhibit 7-2. Exhibit 7-2. Transportation infrastructure components. Canals and waterways. Waterways and canals are considered maritime channels. They have to be carefully maintained in order to allow ships the depth required to pass through them. A number of critical canals and waterways facilitate international shipping. The Panama Canal enables ships to voyage between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans without having to travel around South America. Due to high use, wait times for passage averages 2 days in normal conditions. In 2023 and 2024, these wait times grew much longer due to a historic drought, especially for Neo-Panamax ships, which might wait up to 23 days or more. To address the drought, they started using cross-filling or reusing water from one lock chamber to another, saving an average of 6 daily transits. They also dropped the number of transits per day from 32 down to 18. In addition to the canal fees, the drought has resulted in reservations and an auction system for ships to jump to the front of the line. Organizations have collectively paid hundreds of millions of dollars for faster access since it was initiated. The Suez Canal enables ships to move from the Persian Gulf to Europe without having to travel around the African continent. In 2016, the canal was expanded, doubling its capacity to 97 ships per day. The canal can accommodate vessels with up to a 20-meter, 66-foot draft. In 2021, the 20,000 TEU Ever Given ran aground in it, halting traffic for 6 days. Its use is limited by its expensive toll, which is even higher for northbound container ships and bulk carriers. The Bosphorus Strait in Turkey enables passage from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. Its primary cargo are products being shipped from Russia to other countries. The St. Lawrence Seaway provides passage from the Great Lakes to the St. Lawrence River and the Atlantic Ocean. It suffers from narrowness and ice dams that reduce its use to smaller ships during the colder seasons. China uses the Yangtze River for barge and other traffic, and it connects with many other waterways and ports, making it the most used inland waterway in the world for transport of goods when measured by weight. Barge traffic can travel to or from the U.S. Great Lakes over the Illinois Waterway and the Mississippi River to the International Shipping Port in New Orleans. Similarly, barge traffic on the Danube and the Rhine brings goods to and from European countries through the International Shipping Port of Rotterdam. Russia uses the Volga River to reach the Caspian Sea. Exhibit 7-3 shows where these and many other navigable inland waterways are located. Exhibit 7-3, Navigable Rivers and Canals. Certain passages that would help with international shipping have yet to become reality. One is proposed to go through Nicaragua, paralleling the Panama Canal, but it would have no locks in order for ships to travel through it faster. Another that may eventually come to fruition is through the Isthmus of Kora in Thailand. This would shorten transit time between Europe and the Far East. Ports. The nature of each port dictates which types and sizes of ships the port can accommodate. The depths of channels and berths, in addition to bridge clearances, will eliminate some of the new, larger Neo-Panamax or post-Panamax container ships, which can haul tremendous amounts of cargo from being able to use certain ports. To accommodate the trend of taller, wider container ships, ports are investing heavily in modifying their cranes or replacing them with new large-capacity cranes that can reach higher and farther to enable loading and unloading larger ships from one side. Various ports have average moves in the range of 78 to 130 containers per hour. The record is 160 per hour for a traditional berth. Another option is to create indented berths, which enable a ship to be loaded from both sides, as was done in the Amsterdam container terminals at the Paragon terminal. This increases profitability. It can move up to 300 containers per hour. Larger port hubs that can manage the new megaships will need to be built. Many existing ports are heavily constrained by deep sea on one side and a large city on the other. The Rotterdam port has created artificial land off the coast for terminals to handle these megaships. Malta and Algeciras in Spain are used as transshipment points for transferring containers or bulk cargo to feeder vessels bound for France, Italy, and Spain. China built the deep water port of Yangshan on a landfill in Hangzhou Bay south of Shanghai, linked by a long bridge to the mainland. An alternative is to locate new ports farther from cities. The Port of Prince in British Columbia, Canada, is near only a small town, but has a deep natural harbor and a rail connection to the larger cities. Since many U.S. ports have unionized personnel, operating hours can be more limited as compared to the 24/7 hours of port operations in the Pacific Rim. Strikes are common in Japan and Europe, causing expensive delays. Delays can also arise for shipments put onto rail or road transportation vehicles heading away from a port to their next destination that then get caught up in traffic congestion surrounding the port area. The busy ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles in California have built a dedicated 20-mile, partially underground rail link to alleviate this problem. Warehouses to store containers in transit are not abundantly available at ports. Containers stored in outdoor lots are exposed to the elements and may experience flooding or heating, which jeopardize the container's contents and increase the likelihood of damage. Product spoilage can also occur when refrigerated cargo is not monitored carefully. Staff trained in monitoring container temperature charts and sufficient power supply service is needed. Rail. Rail infrastructures vary greatly in condition, primary use, and ownership from country to country. Since all railroad companies are privately owned in the U.S., there are very limited opportunities for external entities to encourage improvements and very limited investment to make the railroads more efficient. The majority of U.S. trains carry cargo. U.S. trains are often very long, and a 100-car train can carry 200 containers, making for a very efficient use of energy and labor. American railroads have become involved in facilitating international shipments by serving as land bridges. The BNSF Transcontinental Railway was almost fully double-tracked as of 2019, except for two bridges. Double-tracking increases rail capacity by 5 to 6 times over single track. Major hubs for these land bridges, such as Chicago, need to have sufficient capacity and the ability to coordinate this plus other types of rail traffic, such as commuter traffic. Chicago has been working on multiple multi-year projects to improve rail throughput. Trains in Europe exist in a dense network that is used for both passenger and freight traffic. There have been investments in some regions. For example, the Dutch government has new double rail tracks from Rotterdam into Germany to make a direct connection from Rotterdam Harbor to the German Ruhrgebiet, Ruhr area. Deregulation efforts have also encouraged new smaller rail freight operators to enter the market. While countries such as Russia, Spain, and Brazil are still dealing with the long-standing issue of non-compatible railroad gauges, China has invested massive amounts of money in rail to meet increasing demand using its new Silk Road Initiative, as is discussed elsewhere. Freight continues to use standard rail or the high-speed rail lines, but at slower speeds. Almost 75 of its railroads were electrified as of 2020. While the rate is increasing, only 9.6% of all freight tonnage was shipped by rail in 2020, and much of this was coal. For comparison, the U.S. moves about 40% of all tonnage by rail. Roads. The important measure of road infrastructure is typically usability, which is affected by the road surfaces and the condition of the roadways. It is difficult to find consistent information on road infrastructure, and this impacts the usefulness of roads in transporting cargo safely. Information regarding the state of U.S. roads is abundant. Unfortunately, these roads have been given a poor grade by the American Society of Civil Engineers and the U.S. Department of Transportation. India and China are known to lack good road infrastructures, but both are making heavy investments. Roads in Albania, Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, and Romania often have many dangerous potholes and have high congestion. Traffic congestion continues to plague many major cities and countries, including New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago in the U.S., as well as Calcutta and New Delhi in India and Beijing in China. Innovative strategies are being tested and implemented to help reduce congestion. A car owner can drive only when the odd or evenness of the car's license plate number matches the odd or evenness of the date. In Nigeria, corruption allows users to get two sets of plates and they are changed daily, so this method has mixed results. Deliveries are done via motorcycles and mopeds. Vehicles entering the heart of a city are charged a congestion pricing fee, intended to reduce traffic and vehicle emissions. London, Singapore. Some roadways is designated as limited access highways to reduce traffic. High-speed highways are charging expensive tolls to reduce the number of vehicles. More information is available from the U.S. Department of Commerce Country Commercial Guides and the CIA World Factbook. Check the additional resources for links to these materials. Warehouses. Warehouses are the part of the infrastructure that gives the possibility to delay, store goods, and create buffers between supply chain nodes. The quality of warehouses can differ greatly, so it is up to logistics or the shipper to review information on warehouse websites and to personally visit and investigate promising warehouse locations, ones in the right locations that offer the necessary services and capacity to discern the environment in which the loads will be placed. Exposure to sun, rain, fluctuating temperatures, and flooding should all be investigated. Security should be reviewed. More information on warehouse conditions may be available at the World Port Source website. Check the additional resources for a link to this site. Airports. Airports are constrained by their runways, the number of them, and the length and weight restrictions that dictate what types of planes may land upon them. The number of runways determines an airport's capacity. Many smaller airports are unable to handle international flights and are constrained from expansion by urban sprawl or geography. The operating hours of major passenger airports located in urban areas are typically restricted because of noise concerns. Some of these airports offer short-term warehouse space for cargo shipments that are in transit. However, specialized cargo airports, usually located outside the urban areas, operate 24/7 and accept the cargo deliveries, which are typically made at night. FedEx selected the Memphis, Tennessee location in part because it can operate 24/7. This is also the case for Hong Kong's airport. As of 2024, Hong Kong's Chek Lap Kok Airport was the world's largest air cargo hub, handling over 4.2 million tons of cargo, followed by Memphis, Tennessee and Anchorage, Alaska, both in the U.S., Shanghai's Pudong International Airport in China, Louisville, Kentucky in the U.S., and Incheon International Airport in South Korea. Utility infrastructure. The infrastructure of utilities, water and sewer, electricity and energy pipelines, is important because of the utility's potential impact on local warehouses storing shipments and determinations of the foreign locations of corporate offices. Depending upon what country you live in, you may take for granted the seamless provision of electricity and water, which enables businesses to function according to their normal practices. However, a number of countries, including India and China, and the sub-Saharan Africa region suffer from recurring blackouts or scheduled blackouts due to lower supply than demand. Businesses schedule their activities for when power is available. Although many nations are making progress in securing more reliable and continuous sources of electricity through the creation of power-generating dams, Brazil and California and the U.S. have felt the disruptions of shortages and temporary blackouts that impact their ability to conduct business as normal. For countries that have experienced rapid growth, oftentimes the power grid has not been able to keep pace and has proven unreliable. People bypassing meters or stealing electrical wires for scrap are also problems in some regions. A similar situation arises with water and sewer utilities that are unable to keep up with quickly increasing populations and so have become overtaxed and may break down. The aging pipes and other conduits of water to places like New York and Manila have proved insufficient and are in the process of being replaced or fixed. The water quality varies considerably from country to country and even within the same nation, depending upon the wastewater treatment and pollution control measures that have been put in place to protect the water supply from contamination. The World Bank estimates that less than 60% of the world's people have ready access to adequate sanitation. Pipelines supplying energy to many countries are nearing the end of their life cycle. This will force the procurement of energy from more remote sources. Trends show that an increasingly larger percentage of energy will be transported via an ever-growing number of pipelines and reduce the reliance on railroads, trucks, and ships for its transport. Service infrastructure. Not only do businesses need reliable utilities to function effectively abroad, they also need the support services of banks, internet service providers, and so on. A banking infrastructure serves a multitude of purposes, providing lines of credit, processing consumer and foreign currency payments, transferring funds, and acting as an intermediary between foreign trading parties, including holding and moving documents for international transactions. Internet service providers provide broadband internet to businesses using fiber optic cables. This aspect of infrastructure is needed for many logistics requirements, from e-commerce to freight tracking to electronic funds transfer. As the Internet of Things, IoT grows, sensors in warehouses and wireless sensors in transportation increase these internet transmission service requirements. An international logistics department relies also on other support services that enable them to run operations that are efficient and competitively priced. This includes delivery services and carriers, freight forwarders, packing services, centers for order fulfillment, and LSP/3PL providers. Regulatory and legal infrastructure. The regulatory and legal infrastructure encompasses courts, intellectual property, and product and business operation standards. A country's infrastructure of courts enables businesses to settle conflicts and legal disputes fairly, although not always quickly, since many systems require more than a year to settle a contract dispute. The procedural steps and costs can vary considerably, and the legal bills may reach sums that are more than what would be awarded to the winning party. Many businesses turn to mediators and arbitrators to enable faster dispute resolution at a lower cost. Protecting patents, trademarks, and copyrights falls under the intellectual property infrastructure. This is usually managed by law enforcement services. Some countries have a reputation for disregarding intellectual property laws or making disclosure of intellectual property a condition for doing business in their country, for example, China. The Chinese legal system in particular offers weak intellectual property protections and enforcement. Other countries that have rampant poverty or extremes of rich versus poor may not put a high priority on these types of cases, which may then be dragged out much longer, costing a firm valuable time, money, and effort. Standards for products and business operations must also be considered when doing business abroad. Countries sometimes have multiple regional standards that are confusing and may not be clearly communicated. Striving for a unified national standard is preferable. It should include safety, design, and performance standards that are clearly stated, possibly in multiple languages if needed. When foreign countries ship products to the U.S., they are often confounded by the lack of a metric-based system and by state-specific standards that are inconsistent throughout the country.